Me again. One of the thing that I wanted to, I stand corrected, excuse me, it was not Home Alone. It was the Santa Claus. It was not Kevin McAllister. It was whatever that other kid's name is. So if you go back and look for that quote in Home Alone, you won't find it. But there you go. Now you can go look for it in the Santa Claus, which is also a solid movie. Okay. Here we go. So this morning we're talking about surprises. A surprise can mean very different things depending on who it's from. Like in May of 2023, I found this story maybe a year ago, and I've been sitting on it because it's so, I wish it had happened to me. But in May of 2023, in Old Bridge, New Jersey, there was a city council candidate. They didn't get voted in, but they were a candidate. They want to make sure you knew that, who had quite a surprise. They found by the Irsic Brook, that's some river that ran through town, they found 500 pounds of dumped pasta. Have you ever seen this? The picture's hilarious. It's like mounds of pasta, you know, like this big, mound after mound after mound, all the way down the river. And 500 pounds. They came to later find out as the city workers came and put it in 15 wheelbarrows and carted it away. And the mystery for weeks went on. Where in the world did this pasta come from? Like, is this nefarious? Is there some kind of like environmental protest that's happening? Is it the most New Jersey crime ever? Like, what's happening? And so this thing went viral. It was all over the place. Some were saying, get ready for some pasta puns. Some were saying, I did not make these up, by the way. Some were saying that the culprit was al dente. Others said that we can only know so much about what happened. Cannoli. Okay. So it turns out, you know, this thing goes all over. It's the talk of the town. Everyone's trying to figure out this mystery of what in the world, where did this pasta come from? Turns out it was all a large misunderstanding. There was an elderly couple that lived by the river who had passed away. And their son was cleaning out their house. And, you know, this is post-COVID, so they had stocked up on lots of pasta, as one would do. And so he took all of that pasta, and instead of throwing it in the trash like a rational person, decided to dump it out by the river. And so he takes all of this pasta, dumps it out by the river, it rains, and within the next few days, it all expands into 500 pounds of pasta. Surprise solved. Mystery solved. A surprise can mean different things depending on who it's from. So, as we close out the year, I'm sure there's been some surprises for you that you didn't see coming this year. I'm sure there's been some things that maybe have been really great. Maybe you got a raise. Maybe there was a new baby. Maybe there's a new friendship or relationship that you weren't expecting at the beginning of the year that now you find yourself enjoying, or maybe it was not so good. Maybe there's been a diagnosis this year. Maybe there's been a job loss. Maybe there's been a fracture of a relationship that you didn't see coming. Whatever it is, knowing where it came from makes all the difference. For Mary, this morning, as we read her story, I want you to pay attention to how clearly the Lord makes it where this surprise came from. So we're going to read, we're in Luke 1, 26 through 38. And I have no idea who's supposed to read. Yes, Adrian Peterson, everybody. So after Adrian gets done reading, we'll just pause for about 30 seconds and breathe and be where you are. The Lord's already here. The Lord's already speaking in His word, so we can hear Him before I say even another thing.
In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. Oh, one sec. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I'm a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. The word of the Lord.
Let's pray. Lord, many surprises have found us, some happy, some not so. And Lord, I pray that wherever we find ourselves today, if we find ourselves in a season of celebration or if we find ourselves in a season of lament, you're there. And you're not only there, you're working. And you're not only working like one who is a master and we are a servant or a slave, but you are one who is like a father. And we are your children. So would you meet us like that right now? Would you meet us with the real things going on in our life? Would we not leave them at the door as we walk in, but would those things sit on our hearts so that they might break? And that your grace would fall in. We pray this in your name. Amen. So when surprises come, knowing who it's from makes all the difference. And if things are just sort of from an immoral universe that maybe you've manifested, or if it's a result of your best or your worst efforts, and this sort of your life is just the culmination of everything that you've done in the past leading up to right now, then when things come into your life, then you would be maybe right to assume that this is an accident, this doesn't matter, it's all the reason to just get grumpy and cynical and shut down all of your hope. But if everything that comes into your life is actually from the hand of a benevolent God who calls himself Father and calls you child, then literally it changes everything. The lens that you could view your life from could totally shift. Not always, because we're still going to wake up every morning and we're going to default to the old ways of just looking at our circumstances and equating maybe what God thinks about us based on that. But if he's real and if he's good, then maybe he's moving towards you this morning, even in your worst circumstance. So, in this Christmas narrative, Mary has this surprise waiting for her, but you see, before the angel says a thing, he says this word, "Greetings, O favored." And so if every morning you're greeted by that phrase, "Greetings, O favored," how might it change your day-to-day life? How might it change your outlook? How might it change how you feel about yourself and about the world? Because if you know who he is, then you can receive whatever adventure he puts into your path, however you might paint that. So that's what we're going to try to do over the next 20 minutes or so, is look at these things. There's actually two surprises that happened to Mary right here. So we're going to look at two unexpected surprises, excuse me, and then one faithful response. How does she get from her whole life being upended at the beginning of this text? Not very many verses. How do we get from there all the way to the last thing she says is, I'm in? So number one, two unexpected surprises. Mary's first surprise is this. She's a teenage girl. She's in this podunk backwoods town. She's engaged to this local boy named Joseph. And then an angel shows up in her living room for no apparent reason. She's knitting or cooking or whatever she's doing. And then this bright and gleaming being stands in the room, manifests himself to her, and this is what he says. Of all the things that you might think that he might say, he says something like this. Howdy! Not the way I would expect an angel to greet someone. Maybe a little more grave, maybe a little more serious. But listen to what he says. Verse 28, look at this thing. Greetings, O favored one. Greetings. This is like this celebratory tone. Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you. Like he doesn't even let any words get out of her mouth before he almost shuts them with praise, with excitement, with exuberance. Like, this is a great day, and you never saw it coming. The Message version by Eugene Peterson, which is a paraphrase of the Bible, he says it like this. Good morning. You're beautiful with God's beauty. Beautiful inside and out. God be with you. And excuse me. You can imagine why this would be troubling. It says that she's troubled, which means less about fear necessarily and more about confusion. It's like she's perplexed. There's this giant angel who's at my doorstep, or actually he's in my house. Where did he come from? Why is he here? And then why is he calling me beautiful? Very strange, very shocking. But the truth is, this isn't just a story about Mary. Like, there's something we can do to sort of venerate Mary and make her someone who wasn't an actual human. And yet, this was just a girl. Like any other teenage girl in the room. Like any other teenage girl who ever has been. Put yourself back in that place as a teenager. What's going through your mind? What's going through your heart? So much of your life is like the world is your oyster. You're looking forward to all these things, and then everything gets intersected. And then an angel calls you beautiful. But this is not just true of Mary. Look at Psalm 8. What is man that you're mindful of him, Psalm 8 proclaims. And the son of man that you care for him. Yet you have made him a little lower, like just a little, than the heavenly beings. Just a little lower than the glory of angels, and crowned him and crowned her with glory and honor. Believe it or not, we are not accidents. We are created in the image of a beautiful creator. The Imago Dei, as it's known, exists in you. Every one of you. However you feel about yourself today, it exists in you. The glory of God is inside of you. His creativity is bursting out of you. His beauty is falling down upon you. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to try anything. It just is. It's inherent to your being. What do you call beautiful? Maybe you call your spouse or a child or a sunset or the brisket that I have rolling back at my house right now. Whatever you may call beautiful. That's what the Lord calls you. This isn't just reserved for Mary. This isn't just some sort of special announcement that's just for her. This is for us. And if you're like me, as you self-assess, as you think about the week you've just had, as you wake up in the middle of the night and process all the things you've done wrong for the past ever, you may feel less beautiful, and you may feel more like this. This is Archie. Archie's a Chinese crested mixed with a Chihuahua mixed with a garbage disposal. He was the winner of the world's ugliest dog, which is actually a championship that still exists. This is the winner all the way back in 2006. They took a break for COVID, but they're back, so you can find it on ESPN The Ocho. Whatever you've said or thought or done, the greatest failures in your life, all of the things up till this point, as you look backwards, you might say, beautiful is not how I feel. I feel a lot more like this guy than I do feel beautiful. Then how can God say, knowing what I know about me, knowing what you know about me, knowing what nobody knows about me, but everything I carry inside that is so the opposite of beauty, how could God say that? And here's the key of this passage, I think. Here's at least the thing that jumped out at me as I studied this week in a way that hadn't jumped out at me before. Verse 28, and then again in verse 30, we find this word, favor. Greetings, favored one. You have found favor with the Lord. That word favor is just grace. Greetings, gracious one. You have found grace with your God. That's not just true of Mary. That's true of us. Because in the beginning of Ephesians, it says that in love, before the world began, based on zero that you brought to the table, based on zero that he like looked ahead into time and thought, well, that's going to be a good person, so I'll pick that one. Nuh-uh. Because of nothing you've done before the world began, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ. That's how grace works. We get what we don't deserve. We get God's favor based on nothing that we bring to the table. Greetings, favored one. The same thing is true of you this morning. That's the first surprise. That would be shocking in and of itself. Then he actually moves forward with the announcement. He's couched it in understanding of like, okay, she's settling a little bit. He's going to extra lengths to describe to her, not the details, but the heart behind the one who's giving the circumstances. That's the first surprise. Second surprise is this. You're going to have a baby, which may not have been massively surprising. She's like, yeah, I'm engaged. I'm betrothed. Me and Joe, we'll probably have some babies. That's kind of, you know, that was kind of my plan. And he says, no, this isn't just like any baby. This is like a real special one. Like the Son of God kind of special. Like the King of the world kind of special. Like, I don't mean in the future you're going to have a baby. I mean like right now. What? Whoa, Angel. You mean right now? Like, I'm betrothed. If I start showing right now, in that culture especially, that could mean stoning, which wasn't mostly practiced at that time. But you remember when there's a woman caught in adultery and Jesus is there with this whole mob and everyone has stones picked up ready to throw at her. Something very similar could have happened. So, Angel, what you're telling me is that I could now be liable for stoning. More than likely, I'm going to try to explain this whole thing, and Joseph's going to think I'm insane. So now I'm probably going to lose him. I'm going to lose my future. What does this mean to me? Everything, if you've ever been engaged, when you're in that phase of engagement, which meant even more in this context, you're dreaming about the life you're going to have. Everything in this teenage girl's mind would be filled with the life that she expects to have. And then in a moment, it's gone. You ever been there? Angel, you're telling me that my entire life is about to be uprooted and everything that I expected to happen is going to go up in flames. Huge shame on me. Huge shame on my family. What is all the town going to think? This is a small town. Word travels. Everyone would have been talking and snickering at the grocery store and giving them the side eye. And all of this is spinning through her mind. Things come into our lives all the time. Sometimes just small inconveniences, sometimes a massive life-routing moment. They could threaten your image. They could threaten your money. They could threaten your time. They could threaten your literal life. What do you do in those moments? Where do you go in those moments? Naturally, we go inside. Spin. Figure it out. Or maybe we go to just cynical, just whatever. Just let the world just roll over me. But Mary doesn't do either of those things. There's something inside of her that is not unique to her. There's something inside of her that grace does that is also possible to happen to us. And so if it's an illness or if it's a job loss or an emotional breakdown or an unexpected consequence of an action this year, even a new baby can be its own cause of trouble. Even good things that may come into your life may be causing you trouble right now. If you're kicking and screaming and cussing right now because of those things, join the club. But you don't have to stay there. Because in this interim of time, I'm sure all of that is happening inside of Mary because she's a human. And yet she comes out on the other side with a resignation that has dignity and courage and passion in it. How do we get there? So two surprises, one response. A few clues about things that may have been populating her mind as she's standing there with this angel in her living room with her jaw dropped all the way to the ground. These are some things that might have been populating her imagination. Isaiah 9 points to this future son who would come. And it says, For us, this is a Christmas passage, if I've ever heard one. For to us, a child is born. To us, a son is given. The government will be upon his shoulders. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and so on and so forth. This may, as this angel is talking about, there will be a king after the line of David who is the king of the world. He is who is in your womb. This baby is the long-awaited king of Israel. Could it actually be time? Could it actually be happening? Is this the moment? Both Mary and Joseph were good Jews, from everything we can tell. They would have known these stories. They would have memorized the prophecies. They would have gone to school and learned about all of the old stories. They would have been told the 400 years of silence of where has God gone. And maybe there's this little piece of her that's like, could it be? Could this actually be? A virgin will give birth? Could it be? Not only that. Clue two. If you have ever had a child, one of the most maybe exciting and maybe difficult moments is trying to name that child. I've met some people who all the way up till the delivery didn't know until they met the baby what this baby's name was going to be. And it can take so long, and you can go through the whole list of names and go, nope, not good enough. Maybe it was easier for you than that, but assuming she may have already been dreaming about baby names, already dreaming about the nursery that she would set up, already thinking again about the future that her and Joe would have. And then this angel goes and messes up her plans again. And he says, actually, you don't even get to name your baby. You're going to have a baby, and then you're not even going to get to name the baby because you have to name him something important. You have to name him Joshua. Well, I thought it said Jesus. The name Joshua is important because the angel was not speaking English, number one. And just pointing out the obvious. Number two, the angel was not speaking Greek. The angel most likely in this time to a Hebrew teenager would have been speaking Hebrew, potentially Aramaic. But the Hebrew that he speaks to her is actually Joshua. Now, why does that matter? Because here's what she hears. You're going to name him the Lord Saves. You're going to name him your Savior. When the angel tells Joseph, he says the same thing, but he elaborates a little bit more. He says, you're going to name him Jesus, for he will save us from our sins. And so the name Joshua is Jesus transliterated through Greek and then to English, which just means they took the sounds of it and made it, brought it through two languages, which is how we get Jesus, which is fine. Let's call him Jesus. He's okay with that. But it meant something unique to her. Because this news, which has been couched on both sides with, this is a favorable news. This is a favorable surprise. Now, what does that favor look like? It looks like there's one who's going to be a fulfiller of prophecies who's going to come from you. And even more so, it looks like it's going to be someone who is going to be a fulfiller not only of kingly prophecies, but also priestly prophecies. One who would come to save from all of the ugliness that's in here, to save from all of the ugliness that's out there. He's a king who's strong enough to save and who actually does. Third clue, he is God's son. Verse 35, therefore the child will be born and will be called Holy, the Son of God. Mary, you don't have to be married to have this baby. The power of the Holy Spirit will implant him inside of you. So does this mean that Jesus was created and put inside Mary? No. The Nicene Creed is helpful on this. It says that Jesus was begotten, not made. Like snakes beget other snakes. Humans beget other humans. They come, they are like the thing from which they come. God begets God. And so Jesus is fully human, being implanted in the womb of a woman. But this is not Joseph's baby. This is God's son. Why does that matter? Because when if I wasn't a pastor, and you were to see me on the street and say, hey, Pastor Jeremy, which you don't have to call me that, by the way. Please don't. But that would be weird if I wasn't what my title makes me here. But because that is my title, now that can become something that you can reference me as. In the same way, if God the Son did not exist, then we could not also be God's sons. But because that relationship exists between God the Father and God the Son, we can now enter into that. So to put all of this together and then come to a close, this baby from these three clues is the long-awaited king who comes to save his favored children. That's the story that the whole Old Testament points forward to, and that's the story that comes crashing into Mary's living room today. Now, why does this change our lives? This isn't just a Mary thing. How does this change our lives and actually come into our living rooms instead? All the ugliness done in us, all the ugliness done to us, all the ugliness brought upon us can't stop his grace. Irresistible. Unidirectional. Everything that we just showed in this baptism, God's grace moves beelining towards your heart. You can't stop it. He's moving towards you today, in all of the good surprises in your life and in all the bad ones. Because the favor of God is not something we earn. It's something that's been given. It's a gift. The sonship that we receive, the children that we are, we have not earned our way into the family of God. But the Son of God has come from heaven and has entered a woman's womb and has been born and has lived a perfect life that you and I should live in order to be rightly related to God. He has died as our substitute for all of the ugliness that's inside of us and in this world. And he's risen again to new life and says, come on, let's go. And that kernel that Mary only knows this much of, we know this much of. We've had 2,000 years of scholarship and understanding and application and Holy Spirit moving. And so this Christmas, we don't just celebrate some sentimental thing that we're hopeful will make our lives a little bit more shiny for one day a year. But the Christmas message changes everything. And any surprise that comes in gets routed through the hands of God. And because you know who he is, you can take whatever it is onto your shoulders and trust him to hold you with it and walk with you through it. Okay, we need to finish. So let's do this and close. When we had first moved, it'll be 4 years in February that we've been here. And when we first moved, we were coming out of a really tough season, a season that in some ways we're still recovering, growing, healing from, as I'm sure there are many stories like that in all of your lives. We had opened a church, and then we had shut that church. And that ripped all kinds of image and money and reputation and all kinds of other idols straight out of my chest. I felt exposed. I felt alone. I felt unworthy. I did not feel favored. And we got an interview with this church called Midtown. And this church called Midtown brought us up in November for an interview. And on that interview, there was a gift that we received that now sits on the top of my door frame as we walk out our door into whatever the day brings. And this is what it says. I don't know if you can see that in the back. But this is Polly Weir's handwriting, by the way, as beautiful as it is. And it says, all is grace. Because of the work of Jesus, because of this Christmas story, what Mary hears and what gives her the courage to walk out into this road, this adventure, this terrifying struggle that it will be to be the mother of the Son of God, with as much as she knows and as much faith as she has in this moment, she walks forward. Let it be unto me. I'm a servant. And the great thing is, you don't have to do that great either. You can walk out the door and be a total grump. And guess what? Grace doesn't change. On your best day, grace doesn't change. On your worst day, grace doesn't change. Because the Lord has beeline towards you. That's what Christmas is about. Have you received that grace? The only thing his grace requires is open hands. As open as you can get them. As open as the Spirit allows. Little by little, over the course of your life, more and more surrendering to him. All is grace, because that's the character of God. Greetings, O favored one. Over all of his people, he proclaims that today, because all is grace. So Lord Jesus, we pray that you would give us courage to do the things that we don't want to do, and also to do the things that we're totally excited to do. Thank you for the gift of this life that just doesn't go to our plans. It just never does. And yet, we're here for it. We're here for it because you're here for us. So give us the courage to walk back out of this room in a few minutes and into the unknowns of this day, the unknowns of this week, the unknowns of this month, of this year, and the rest of our lifetime, because we know who the giver of all gifts is and the giver of all things we can call good. We can open our hands and receive and say, let it be to us. Imperfectly, yes. But Lord, help us to surrender to that reality today.